Welcome to the Weed Out, where we talk about the nonsense and bullshit happening in our backyards and try to weed to the bottom of it. I'm Spencer Fox Peterson, along with my co-host, as always.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna Mae Booty.
And we're here with our favorite abolitionist out east, Laura Saylor. She previously ran for state senate. She's an activist. She's had multiple episodes with us. She's a working class person, works in the food service. So Joanna and I and Laura all have that in common. We've been serving the public and being workers, and we also have a strong passion for justice. So it's great to have Laura on. We're going to talk about some recent action demanding and demands regarding the case of Sandra Birchmore. And so Laura was at an event last weekend, and she just wants to share with us what happened. So of course, as always, we are very happy to share our platform. Now that all that stuff has been said, Joanna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. You know, it's fall. We keep saying the weather because that's, I mean, outside of what we otherwise talk about, that's the only thing that is unifying in this world.
I actually like talking about the weather. So
sure, yeah,
it doesn't bother me. Like, I'm like an old guy. Like, I'm like an 85-year-old man about it. Like, the Weather Channel is soothing to me because I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, like, the next few days are going to be out like that. It gives me a connection to my dad.
Right.
Would watch it. It's funny. And like, you're right. It is kind of universal. Cause like, if I don't know what to say to someone, it's like, nice weather, huh?
Unless they're climate change deniers. And then we're just like, what the fuck?
It's true. Then it could go awry. But
how are you not paying attention? Anyways, as always, Laura, welcome. Welcome to the Weed Out. Thank you for coming by. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to come on here and talk about the action that we had on Saturday. Justice for Sandra Birchmore. We had a rally that began in Canton. We printed up a list of demands. I sent them to you, Spencer. And we presented them to the Canton Police Department, as well as the Stoughton Police Department. And we'll be presenting them to the Norfolk County DA too, as well as Plymouth County DA, because this is just ridiculous. I'm sorry, but it's like flagrant at this time that there's been no accountability for what they've done to her. None.
Yeah. So as an update, Laura, so the demands are basically, and just to keep the audience informed, if they haven't followed, they can go back to multiple episodes where Laura can start and you can get caught up to this, and I'll post those. But so basically at this point, like, everyone knows that there are police officers who should be at least investigated at the very least, and no one is doing anything.
Well, they did like a
like an internal investigation,
but it was like, and they actually found in the investigation, and not only is this in the investigation that you can get from the DA, the investigator, Fanning, flat out told me that they had evidence via the text messages that Farwell coerced her to go with other men, that she was underage. But then he used the excuse, but she's dead, so we can't ask her to confirm, type of bullshit.
So they haven't made any moves, although even with that.
Not a single one. As a matter of fact, Joshua Heal was recertified by post. Now, granted, when he.
Which, I mean, is a joke that we all know at this point, but still.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
I mean, she was an adult when he, you know, coerced her. But none of them have faced any consequences, really, for this at all. And what's really terrifying is that Billy Farwell, the TSA finally let him go because of public outcry.
Oh.
He's on the U.S.-Mexico border in New Mexico. No one knows what he's doing down there. I bet dollar to donuts he's working for ICE. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And then
God.
It would be a benefit of being that close to the border if he ever does get charged, right? It's clear that they're intentionally not holding them accountable.
Right. And I can see why you would be going to all of these different places Do you get anywhere? Do you like, I know I've seen the, like when you went to speak to the one video you sent us, do you usually get any reaction, or does it just.
I did get reaction. The plan was, oh, they're going to want to try to talk to you. I don't have anything to say to them.
Right. Exactly.
Unless they're ready to meet my demands. This has been going on too fucking long and it's gross. And anything you have to say at this point is bullshit unless you're meeting my demands. Done. Over. Not playing your bullshit. Not being nice about it anymore. You need, you know, these are our demands. You don't meet them, we're going to be out here at minimum, every month with a bullhorn, embarrassing you in front of the community until there's either accountability or our demands are fully met.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, for everybody listening at home or wherever you're listening, it's real simple why this isn't happening. Because if you pull one Jenga piece out, you start holding these guys accountable, the whole house of cards falls apart. The whole justice system, all these convictions will be overturned. The private prisons won't have their beds filled.
And they'll all be outed as abusers. Yeah.
So they can't.
I know.
They can't. Or else they have to admit the whole thing is a sham.
Yep.
End of story. Yep. That's anybody at home, to our new listeners that I confirmed today. You know, that's why I get agitated. You know, people who think I'm a level person, you know, they have a professional relationship with me and they think I'm a normal person, but I am not normal in the sense that I am very upset about this. So all those new listeners, what I'm saying is, this is why. This is why. It's as simple as that. You can't pull the one Jenga piece out and start doing that. Every now and then they throw us a bone, the Derek Chauvins, the guy that killed George Floyd, that massacred a person on a viral video. Like, they had to. And that was that. So every now and then they throw us a bone and don't like take victory with it, you know, basically, because 90% of the time they go get a job with a different agency.
Yeah, if he's with Border Patrol, that's terrifying because those people are more marginalized than even Sandra was.
They don't know. There's no possibility they know a lawyer. There's no possibility that they know our system and our culture. And like, you do not have to talk to these motherfuckers, but they're afraid, reasonably so. I mean, people that even know the rules when they interact with a cop, like, you know, people, my loved ones who know the rules, they're like, yeah, I got pulled over and he asked me a bunch of questions and I answered them. And like, after I left, I felt dumb. And it's like, no, because it's scary. They have a fucking gun and their hand is on it.
And they have, like, look at Ron Sellin, they have rage issues, a lot of them. But the thing about Sandra's case really gets under my skin bad. So much so that I'm like, if this is all I do for the rest of my life, try to get accountability for this, I'm going to do it because it's just so egregious and so gross. And it really likes me. We demanded the resignation of Donna McNamara, Chief Donna McNamara of the Stoughton Police Department.
Is that where the action? So walk us through Saturday. Saturday was
Saturday. Busy day. Saturday, yes.
September 30th. So it was kind of just to set the tone. It was overcast, probably a little damp.
Yep.
Fall New England weather.
Yep. We didn't have a huge turnout. We did have a turnout, but it wasn't gigantic. It would have been better had the weather been better, because we saw that on the Justice for Sandra Facebook page. And also a lot of people sick, probably with COVID. But we did get a small size crowd out there. JR came from Western Mass. JR Rivera, you know, the Workers Party member out there.
Of course, yeah. He's a neighbor of mine.
Yep, he came out. He brought his bullhorn.
Oh, fun.
We started in Canton. We gave Canton PD. We stayed there for about an hour. We were interviewed by I don't know, Canton cable access guy who is a Jimmy Dore fan.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And that says it all.
Who agrees about Sandra, right?
Yeah, but that's the crazy overlap part. You know what I mean?
I know. So he interviewed us and, you know, that went all right. And then we gave them our demands. On duty in Canton was like some young cop. He looked like he was flustered, you know, like he had a million things to do. And he was basically just took it like a messenger boy and said, okay, I'll make sure they get it. You know,
you wasn't the video.
So yeah.
We're going to play the video.
Yeah. The one in Canton, the one in Stoughton.
Oh,
the one in Stoughton came later. Yeah. Stoughton. Okay. Then he went on down to Stoughton. And we had our signs and a couple more people showed up and JR was there with the bullhorn. And Jill and I said, all right, let's go do it before we start the rally. We'll go give them our demands. And you could play the video now if you want to show where I gave them the demands. But he wanted to talk and we were like, nah.
And we could probably talk over it a little bit. So
yeah,
for those at home, play by play with the Stoughton police. So here we go. This is who are you with here?
I'm with Jill Sheridan of the Workers' Party.
Jill Sheridan of the Workers' Party. This is y'all walking into the Stoughton Police Department.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
Good. We're here with the protest. We have our listed demands.
Okay.
One of which we want the resignation of John McNamara.
All
so
right.
Here's your demands. If you can meet them, you're welcome to talk to us. If not, then there's really no reason for any discussion.
Yeah. Liz, if you want to stay one second, let me hear your demands.
Pardon? Well, if you want to meet my demands, that's good. If not, there's nothing to say.
So.
I left you unlisted demands.
Great, yeah.
It was hard to hear you last. So when we say this is a list of demands, you did what?
Yes.
Yes.
And what was it?
You can look at the list of demands.
Related to Miss Sandra Birchmore case.
Okay, who is this for?
This is for all of you, but mostly John McNamara, who needs to resign.
Okay, so I will give it to her. That's what I wanted to come out and talk to you, because I couldn't hear you through the glass that well. So you want to give this to the chief, is what you're saying.
We want it looked at. We want you to take it seriously, unlike you've done with Sandra's case. So we want it taken seriously. We're going to continue this at least every month until we get justice for that girl. It's ridiculous what you people have done. It's disgusting.
Okay. All right.
You're gross. So
right. Those thank are our you. Demands.
So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. I got to tell them they were gross and that made my day.
They are gross. And if anybody, we're going to try to post this to YouTube so you can also see the video. But anybody listening at home, I want to describe perfect angle for the video. I mean, I get why, like, for safety, but to get his stupid doughboy face doing this, like, just like, you know, trying to be inquisitive, like, you know, trying to hear you guys, see what's going on, but also at the same time, like, definitely playing the dumb card.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dumb and nice.
Which is fine. Like that
I mean, it's better. I guess it's better than hard. Like, yell. Yes. It's better than the alternative potentially, but
I just need people at home to see his stupid face. It gives you joy. And they all look the same.
It really does. It really does.
There's, there's no defining characteristics on any individual.
We stayed there until 3 o'clock. We used a bullhorn, plenty of signs, handed out the demands to people who asked. Plenty of people in the community stopped and said, we support you. There was a woman who came out with a couple of kids, a woman and a man. And she said, I support you, but a birthday party has just led us the street. Because we were calling them abuse enablers, child abusers, you know, stuff like that. So we calmed it down till they get in their car, but they were on board with us. And they asked us nicely, and, you know, we get seated, and they were like, we agree with you 1,000%. It's disgusting. And we did. We really, like, kind of humiliated them in front of the community. And we will be back. I think we said last weekend in October, we're going to do it again. And we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep doing it. Because any way you look at it, like, no matter what Donna McNamara says, or any of these cops, because I always maintain this, all those cops were mandated reporters.
Exactly.
They didn't hide what they were doing to Sandra. They paraded her around to restaurants, to bars, to pizza joints, to parks, to town festivals. Everybody knew. Not one of them says a fucking word. Right now, nobody knows, right? So these mandated reporters, why aren't they being held accountable too? If a teacher or a therapist or a doctor or anybody blew off mandated reporting laws, you'd be in trouble.
Oh, you could lose your license, get fired. Yes, absolutely.
That's my point.
And I also wonder, Laura, if you could let us know, just based on, like, so if the chief, say the chief is like, you know, in this particular case, they're not going to want to fire themselves. And, like, that's a hard thing to ask for. Do these towns have select boards or city councils that you could go for?
I believe Stoughton is a select board.
Okay. I know it's not easy either, but.
Well, it's not. But here, and especially in, like, Stoughton and Canton, which are actually uniquely horribly corrupt, almost like Holyoke level corrupt, and have been forever. And there's a, you know, incestuous relationships. We see this in Mansfield too, with the town and the select board and the cops. But the point is, a lot of the public is already enraged about Sandra.
Well, that's what I wondered. So, like, in my town, we sometimes put pressure on the select board if we can get enough of us.
Right.
That's what I wondered.
Time is passing, and this is what they want to do. They want to kind of let time heal wounds, is what they're thinking. We're not going to let that happen.
Right, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and make it so uncomfortable for her to be chief that she resigns or the select board lets her go. Because, you know, we know not this is not the case, but, like, what they say is her primary duty is public safety. To release 4 predators, 5 that you know of, like literal predators, out on the public. Oops.
Well, and to say that they have the evidence and then just, like, not do anything.
Well, we don't have any corroboration with Sandra because she's dead. Oh, well.
It's nuts. It's like, I don't know how people think we need police if they're the ones doing and saying this type of.
Horrible.
And it's not like it's an isolated incident either, you know? So that's this one. In this incident with Sandra, we obviously don't want her to be a statistic, but sadly, that's why cops shouldn't be in schools, shouldn't necessarily be around children, because this type of thing can happen.
Oh, it happens everywhere these programs are implemented. And it turned my, and then after that, we went over to the picket line, the UAW picket line at Stellantis at Pittsfield. Where Ron Sullen's cops have been congregating, of course, and trying to escort scabs through and, like, you know, roughing up the picketers a little bit and saying things like, we're actually on your side, but no, fuck you. And I actually got some recognition there on the picket line, talking to the woman who was the organizer for that shift, middle-aged woman. She was very nice. We gave them a box of Joe. Brandon and JR picketed. Jill and I were talking to her, asking them what they needed, and we got to talking about the cops, and they were like, fuck the cops. And Ron Sullen, and she said, can you believe he got his fucking job back? They never even, like, found him fit. He had, like, a rage fit on video.
Well, that video is so wild. Yeah,
and they're like, she's like, no. And I was like, do you remember the milk carton poster? She's like, oh my God, yeah. I go, that was us.
That is like, really good.
So people on the picket line are ready for something different than the Democrats, for real Paul Feeney showing up down there. But people, when Paul Feeney shows up at the picket line, Paul Feeney stands over in a corner, like in a circle with like UAW, you know, IBEW brass and a couple of DTC members from Foxborough Mansfield. You know, he might walk around, but never forget that, you know, he's a full-on supporter of qualified immunity and the cops and the cop union, and he's in the pockets of the cops. And he actually supported Ron Sellin. So when Paul Feeney, I guess, got hit by one of the scabs in a hit and run at the picket line, wasn't horribly injured or anything, but got hit. And it's like, how did all that sticking up for the fucking pigs help you, Paul, right? But they'll still do it because that's who they are. I'm convinced of that. I am sickened that Mansfield Democrats are, as this is going on, as Ron Sellin's police rough up picketers and act like douchebags and let scabs through, that they, you know, all they make posts about, oh, the SRO's comfort animal, the dog, and you know, isn't it cute? People in Mansfield want to believe that they live in like cul-de-sac utopia. I'm not kidding. That's who these people are. And if you tell them anything different, they just don't want to look at it or hear it or know about it. You know, they don't have values.
And these people, all I can think of is this.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children? What kind of an... you
know, I know it. I know, like, it.
I thought you all care it. About the kids.
They don't, though, right?
Well, and I think it's a sadly, like, almost like brainwashing. And then people think, like, we're extreme. But it's like, no, like, if you look at the budget in your town and you think about, like, actual safety, or you just look at, like, even the two-party system in America, it's really not that hard to see that, like, this is, like, they are basically the same party with, like, a few different things. I know that some people are wildly offended if I say that, because they, like, the body autonomy that some Democrats are okay with and stuff like that. But for me, it's hard because it becomes like pitting us against each other when in reality, like, most of us have like the same needs, and like we all like are making like, I'm just like 60% of Americans are making under like $40,000 a year.
I know it.
So it's like we all have so much more in common than we think. And I just can't believe that the brainwashing, and I guess I can believe it because I also at one time thought the police were going to protect us and serve us. So I'm not like shaming or blaming anyone that is still like holding on to that in any way, really. But it does feel like the propaganda machine that is the police with all of the money has just like warped people's brains.
Well, because yeah,
we seem crazy for saying the things we're saying to them. But why is it crazy to want to stop people who, like, especially Ron Sellin? Like, why do you want him to have a gun at all? That man doesn't seem...
Why do you want him to have a gun, let alone be a police chief?
Just a gun.
Yeah.
Just because he doesn't seem like he can control his emotions. And I know that video might have been him at his worst, but he probably, like, chief of police should be held to a high standard. Exactly.
I'm down with getting this man mental health care. Like,
well, me too. That's why I'm not trying to shame him or anyone with like problems, but I'm saying, like, if you're chief of police,
chief of police, right? I'm off in public, right? I'm not asking to run what he calls a
paramilitary
organization. He comes on, goes on TV and called the Mansfield police a paramilitary organization when Ryan Capp asked him why people were horrified about his behavior. Well, but they think of us as we're a paramilitary organization, and my neighbor's down at the pool, like regular old, you know, vast political spectrum there. Did you fucking hear that?
It's scary, I think. And he's proud of it. It's like,
and then you heard of, like, you heard from all the people that Ron Sullen dicked over when they applied for a gun permit or like
that. Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
It's like, sir, you can't even, I mean, oh man.
But the cul-de-sac liberals is what I call them.
No, yeah, you're right.
See types. They love that shit. Like, oh, Ron Sullen let the SRO get a Labrador puppy and the children love it. And, you know, oh, they're doing a touch the truck thing with the cops. The cops that. And that's what they want. They want fucking cul-de-sac life. But you know what? They're adults. And fuck them. Because at the same time, they're saying this stuff. Ron Sullen's cops are hassling picketers. And they're hassling picketers, and they're just being Rod Sullen's cops and douchebags. And you were never found fit to serve. You've been found unfit.
Well, yeah, and you're not safe in the community with him. He's not a safe person.
He's found unfit. He's never been found fit again.
That's so crazy.
Everybody at the picket line was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But it was like back to the Sandra thing. When we were at the Sandra thing, JR was really good. JR said a bunch of really nasty, get under your skin type things. Cops would come out, we go, oh, there's a child abuse enabler. There's a predator enabler. At the very best, that's what you are. You're a real piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all true.
Well, and I like to remind the audience that in 36 states in the United States of America, if a police officer sexually assaults you or rapes you while you're in custody, it's legal because you're in their custody. And I just, that is disgusting. And Massachusetts is one of the states that is still okay. And so since I was like able to drive, my mother has always been like, never let a cop like get you alone. Like, yeah. So that's terrifying.
And everybody at home, again, I keep addressing the people at home. I'm calling myself out.
I know, I say that too, though, the audience.
But I just want to remind everybody, this is why civility policing and tone policing is fucking horseshit. Because honestly, you keep saying you don't want violence, but they're doing actual violence.
And it's allowed.
Violent words, like, or violent feeling words. Like, they're not even violent. I'm not even saying cut their head off. I'm saying, like, fuck you. You're gross. You're a class traitor. Like, that is a pretty cutting insult. That's pretty harsh. I would be hurt if somebody said that to me. You know what I mean? I would really question myself. So, like, shame. Just, we need to shame these people out of existence.
And members of the community saw it, and they knew we were right, and they came up to us and high-fived us, and if they were
good,
they beat their horns and they put their thumbs up, or they yelled out the window, "You're right, fuck them." So, we're gonna do it every month. And we're going to make their lives hell, because even if we don't win, we can at least do this.
No, that's true.
Because, I mean, make them pariahs in their community.
Right. And it's the public awareness is huge.
What they're like. You know, one wants to know what they're like. You know, you're a pariah. You're a piece of shit.
So how are you organizing all this? Like, how are you getting the word out?
We got with the Justice for Sandra Birchmore woman, Michelle, who organized the rally in Canton last month that we attended with Owen at the DA's office. I will say that you saw a video of that, Michelle and Jill and I walking up to the Canton DA and presenting letters from the community about how outrageous this is, how disgusted people are. You know, why haven't you fucking done anything? And Sergeant, Lieutenant, whatever the fuck he is, Fanning, same one I dealt with, called Michelle. Oh, we want you to know we haven't given up. We never will. It's difficult. It's not difficult. She's dead. She was a child. It's just, to me, the crime that they committed is just so, because I know, like, deep down that Sandra is not the only one, I'm sure. And they're not the only four, I'm sure. So it's a problem. It is a public safety issue that these people are walking around doing this stuff. Ron Sellin is a public safety issue.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, I go off on people. I've been known to do that on occasion.
Well, that's the thing, but you're not like the chief of police.
I am not the chief of police, right.
And I don't you don't have a gun that you're just like able to access at any point that I know of.
I'm a paramilitary under my command. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Now, very involved in the Ron Sellin support is this woman named Nicole Birch. She has her own kind of fucked up social justice blue bag organization that she formed. But the protest for George Floyd Mansfield was mostly about Rod Sullivan going out there taking a knee. This is Nicole Birch talking about we need more people like Ron Sellin and the police, and basically a police blowjob, right? And she got very upset the last time Brian Kath and Shara Stoll interviewed me, texted me left and right, you know, my nasty posters. He's a good person. And I'm like, fuck that. I said, I saw the video. Oh, he was pushed to it. All the excuses people give abusers, right? And I'm like, how are you gonna like hold them accountable for going? Because she supported that big thing with them is the problem-oriented policing. And you and I and Spencer know that that's about surveillance more than it is about helping anybody. And it was like, oh, he wants to help people. No, he fucking doesn't. I'm like, they kill people when they go on mental health checks, even through that. Training can help that. You're not going to get rid of them overnight. Don't you want some lesser evil bullshit?
Yeah.
Calling them out with the names. Didn't stop for like 2 days. And then a woman that I know, Dana Horrigan, known Dana since I came to Mansfield. And she was just weirdly obsessed with like, well, you know, he didn't mean it in that video. He was upset. And that was that was like Trowbridge making him angry and like pushing his buttons. And, you know, it's been hard on him and his son's autistic. And I'm like, what the fuck? He probably believes a lot of the same things you do about the police. I'm like, no, he fucking doesn't.
I know. The level of persecution that they think.
I'm like, absolutely fucking not. I said, I've invited you to our meetings. I haven't seen you, so fuck you. It's a good reason. It's a good thing you didn't come because my organization doesn't accept bootlickers. I mean, really, if you're a bootlicker, don't apply.
It's fair.
You know, you gotta be that way.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't make a deal with the devil. Like I said, like it's a whole house of cards earlier in the episode. Like you start holding them all accountable, there's nobody left.
But see, my thinking, I believe very strongly too that like we're not going to get justice to the system for Sandra.
Right.
We're not going to get it for a lot of the victims of police brutality and abuse.
Right.
But the least that we can do is remind everybody who they fucking are every day of the week.
Absolutely. The community awareness is huge. And I think for Sandra's sake and for anyone. It really, it's a different kind of justice potentially, Laura. And that's something abolitionists hope for, you know, like we don't necessarily want, like the police are solving 2% of crimes normally, just to let the public, you know, reminder to everyone. Sadly, even when they're trying, they can't do it.
I know.
So before we get to our ghoulery and tomfoolery, can you shout out how anybody listening at home wants to get involved in the following action, whether it's next month or in the coming months? Like you said, you're going to try to, you know, go out there every month and ask them, are demands met? And how can people find that?
There's the follow the Justice for Sandra Birchmore Facebook page.
Okay.
And you'll get all of our events. Right after we did it, we said, okay, we're going to do it next month. Michelle came up with a date. So we'll start planning that next week.
Great. So yeah, we will share that in our show notes for everybody listening. That way, if you didn't catch it or, you know, whatever, we'll just go to the website, www.theweedout.com, and you'll see it under our episode notes. Again, I just want to shout out to the audience, everybody, new listeners, existing listeners. We appreciate y'all. And to FBI Officer Jim, hello. Hi.
What up?
Yeah, the only thing we say here is...
Fuck you, Jim.
Hell yeah.
Hey, cop, fuck you.
Yeah.
But, and the cop in your head, everybody. Like, I'm...
Kill the cop in your head. I say that to everybody all the time.
It's hard. You definitely
should,
though.
Doesn't mean no accountability.
No, absolutely not.
Doesn't mean there are no reparations when things go south. Like, you can still make people... Try to make people whole. And it's
about, well, like, look at me. I'm an abolitionist. I want accountability for what was done to Sandra.
Right.
Accountability is important. It doesn't mean what they think it is, though. It doesn't involve the fucking cops.
Strip their social status.
Yes.
You know, that's put them like, in that's like, sorry, bro. Yeah, we're not going to lock you in a prison, but you need therapy.
And you, it's probably, yeah,
need to like,
well, like, yeah, what Ron Collins does. I don't know.
Camp. I mean, it sounds fucked up. We need to send you, like, or not send you somewhere, but we need to put you somewhere you can get in touch with nature and touch fucking grass.
Well, like, I don't
get
care.
Your house, it's like, wonderful. Like, you need,
I don't care. Ron Collins never gets therapy, and he's at home and he's miserable his entire fucking life. I don't care.
Right. Well, but, you know, hey.
I mean, and if he did get it, that's great. I'd support that. But, like, you have no business fucking running a police department, Jesus Christ.
So, yeah,
we have,
in your area, we have two really piece of shit organizations. So, everybody, it's in your backyard, too.
Definitely.
Every police department is
every
like
department. I have stories about mine, so everyone has them.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about Holyoke a lot around here, so, like, we don't need to get into that further. Like,
oh, no. Man, Holyoke is just one big, yeah.
Hampton beat an old lady up, and, like, you know, just Holyoke bureaucracy and PD are just, they're like, whatever. Here,
no, it's bad for
over
sure.
This week.
Bad for sure. I think all of this, like, the whole state, though, I think people need to be aware, even in small sleepy towns like Montague, Mass. If no one's ever heard of the story of Chief Dodge in 2018, Google it. He was removed from chief of my town for interesting reasons. And I think, you know, like, every small town has their stories. It's crazy. So it's not even just big towns. It's not even just Holyoke or Springfield or Pittsfield or out by you. Sure. It's literally, Worcester. I'm everywhere. Yeah, Worcester.
Worcester is comically bad, Lowell. You know.
You're right. It's so bad.
Yeah.
So I think, like, we're not being extreme. We're just trying to point out, like, what are we doing? Why are we spending money on this?
I am never going to say something on a bullhorn, in a poster, you know, or anywhere that is, as far as I know, a lie.
Right.
You know, because what I'm saying is true. And it's like, if two or three people hear it and go, oh, let me look into that. Was she just some crazy lady ranting on the street corner? Should I look into that? And then they look into it, they'll be like, what the fuck? And if it's just two or three people, to me, that's a win.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that's what I got to say about that.
So I guess we can just, everybody, please go check out our notes, www.theweedout.com. Follow us on social media, reach out to us anytime. And thank you to all the people following us and listening and contributing and giving us the skinny on who to talk to next. We appreciate you. And as always, we appreciate Laura coming on.
Yes. Thank you, Laura, for breaking all of this down every time you come on.
This makes me so angry.
You're fighting an information war on two fronts.
You are.
Ron Sellen, and you have the Stoughton Dana McNamara chief, you know, for two different egregious reasons. And it's the same problem in both, even though they're different egregious reasons.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, a lot of people ask me why we didn't get more involved in the care and read. And I'd like to kind of clarify that. It's not that I don't believe that Karen Reed was probably railroaded. I would bet that she probably was. Karen Reed has resources. She has lawyers. She was an adult. And she's got connections. Sandra never stood a chance. And I don't think it's fair to just give Sandra like half or like have it, because I think what happened to Sandra speaks even more than what happened to Karen Reed, if that's what happened, is what she says happened. Because, I mean, that's horrific. That's like horror show stuff, what they did to her. That's just my two cents. But, you know, we have solidarity with Karen Reed, but she's not in need of our services. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I stand with that. I'd like to just kind of make that clear in case anyone wonders.
Well, thank you, Laura. That's a good clarification.
It's a class issue.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of what it is. I know we've been asked that quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, why aren't you like, full? I don't, you know, said whatever, support Karen Reed, but we just don't have the resources, the bandwidth to give both the necessary attention. So I am definitely focused on Sandra's.
Well, thank you for being focused on it, Laura. I know it's a lot of work. But that awareness in the community, I think, is really important.
Yeah. Primary goal. So let's get to ghoulery and tomfoolery and bricks.
Yeah. Well, I think we're gonna have to do. I have to do a real news thing real quick. Breaking news out of Holyoke. So it's not going to be breaking by the time y'all hear, but breaking to everybody in the room. There was a murder on Sergeant Street in Holyoke, and somebody is also injured.
Mm-hmm.
When my mouse starts working again, I will be able to scroll up here. But unfortunately, Holyoke PD, who just got their Instagram back online, spun it on their Instagram about like how ShotSpotter is effective, and they didn't have NFT in custody. So it's like, how? Anyway, so everybody beware when you're listening to stuff about Holyoke. They're shiesty, man, and they are pushing hard on this ShotSpotter thing, like real hard. And they're trying to justify this budget, and they'll even, let's say this is just your run of the mill gang related violent murder. I have no other words to say this. The police are so craven, they will use the tragedy of others to get their toys.
Always.
See,
absolutely.
It's always going to shift to that. It's like the police write the articles themselves. And the Holyoke PD definitely has a new director of communications since Gobot Goebbels retired last summer at the ripe early age of like 51. And
only police.
What, they're not like,
no, but only police unions are allowing that age of retirement still. Well, it's like,
I don't want,
they have the craziest like abilities somehow for workers' rights. It's nuts. And they're not even workers.
I don't even.
It's so upsetting.
I don't want a 65-year-old running around with a gun. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying though. Like, teachers used to be able to retire at 50 or 52.
I think everybody rely at 51.
And they just they only have kept the police age low, not anyone else's.
Class traitors. That's the
trade-off. Exactly. Exactly.
Put 20 years in instead of your whole fucking life, like the rest of us. So, anyways, just wanted to like kind of plug my pet peeve that Holyoke, you know, is bringing up their fucking counterinsurgency social media game. It makes me sick. I hate it. I hate spending money on it. And it's the part that disgusts me most is the lack of respect for the working class living in a fucking war zone, and in blaming us for living in a fucking war zone. There's more guns than people in this fucking country.
Yeah.
There's more fucking desperation. There's less haves and way more have-nots, and we wonder why violence fucking happens and why empathy is low. And it's like, come on, everybody. It's like, let's satisfy the needs first, and then let's see if it gets better. We don't need to keep throwing a cage, microphones, cameras at it. So that's my, I know we normally do one article for Ghoulery and Tomfoolery. I just had to get that in there, and I don't have all the facts, so I don't want to go too deep on it. But breaking news. So everybody just quick hit, like, thoughts. Joanna?
Well, for me, I think the fact that they're ever using any tragedy to, like, make ShotSpotter seem like it worked, I'd want to first, of course, see the data, which they probably can't provide. But the data for ShotSpotter is always wrong. And I think, of course, the Holyoke Police is going to do this more and more until the 3-year period or the 2-year period, I can't remember, the contract just runs out, because the community did have a lot of people show up, even from other towns, to tell them how ridiculous it was, the city council and the mayor, to take on this burden financially. It doesn't make any sense. It's not going to help you or keep you safe. Like, you might as well just give the money away to people in the community rather than have ShotSpotter. I think the police are going to definitely try to make, like Laura said, those white suburban people, the cul-de-sac, the neoliberals, they're going to want to give them this, like, oh my gosh, goodness, like, ShotSpotter helped us catch this person, or we, like, were alerted to the area quicker. Either way, a reminder to the audience, like, they didn't prevent this. They don't potentially have the person in custody yet. No. And so the things that prevent this are the things you mentioned, Spence. That's my take on it. And I just don't think police should be allowed to have marketing or social media and at all.
No, it, because I mean, it's just funny quip to kind of go with this. A couple of years ago, the Citizens Bank at the Stop and Shop in Mansfield got robbed. Now, that's an easy job for a crew cops to get whoever got it, especially if they didn't have a car.
I worked at Citizens Bank in a grocery store. I can confirm that there are cameras at
everywhere.
And the cameras, they're like, they got the whole place. It would be very hard to get away. I like
without swarm of fucking cops.
That's why they tell you.
I've been away for like 2 days on foot. He ran away on foot.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, you know, whatever. Don't shoot him in the back.
But like, they couldn't find him. If they would have shot him, maybe if they could find him, they couldn't find him. Spencer, that was the thing. It was like, what are you really? Are you that?
And then they post the videos. They do this in Pittsfield a lot. I see they'll post like a video, like the picture of the store's video, like, this person robbed the store. And it's like, can you help us find it? They probably do it in Holyoke too, or we'll start doing it. And I'm always just like, oh my God. Like, because that's what they always do it in Pittsfield. They'll show like the footage from like the like robbery if they can't catch them. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Holyoke Mall.
Yeah. So that makes sense. They would do that there. Yeah.
This is what's so dumb about it.
It's so dumb.
My opinion, people that are professional scammers and are, whether they're doing credit card fraud, people, they know not to do it anywhere near where they live.
And you're not going to be able to ID them usually. Like, usually the person's like, oh, like, I have no idea who that is.
So it's kind of like,
so I'm never going to tell the cop.
Why are we paying the cops all this money to, we have to do the job for them? Sorry, that's my
stuff. That too, though, that is part of it for me. I'm like, why do I have to know?
Purge is vigilantism.
They're an organized state sanctioned gang of thugs.
But then it's like, can we citizens arrest them and just be like, sorry?
Well, see, I want to get the public outrage. that's my dream. But you got to start there, right? Because you got to educate the public, and they're bombarded with.
No, absolutely. That's the problem. Absolutely.
No, you got to. It's easy for stuff. Well, it wasn't easy for me. It wasn't easy for a lot of people, but for a good chunk of people to kind of let what happened to Sandra fade and fall into complacency very quickly. And I'm not willing to let that happen. I'm going to remind you every fucking month who these people are in this police station. That's what they are. Remember it. And every time one of them would come out to go in the car, we'd call them, say something nasty about what they were. in the bullhorn. People walking by could see it. We had posters. We left a stack of our demands on the bench in front. Hopefully a bunch blew away and people get them. Hung our posters all over the place. They'll have to at least clean that up. It's going to get old after a little while. And that's the goal.
So on to the real ghoulery and tomfoolery. Some national news. Unfortunately, I'm taking it from the Boston Herald because, you know, you got to go right to the propagandist like fountain. So the Boston Herald, notable rag, is reporting that the Boston City Council voted to approve the $3.4 million in grant funding for the Boston Regional Intelligence Center. After lengthy discussion that determined the need for public safety outweighs the past harms created by the entity's gang database. So it passed upon, you know, ideological lines, 7-5. The conservatives and the moderates were 7. The quote-unquote liberals were 5. It was actually down racial lines too. So all 5 people.
I heard that.
All 5 votes were of people of color, not one white person. The other side, it was the 5 right wingers: Aaron Murphy, Ed Flynn.
I mean 7, right?
Sorry, 5. 5 of them were the right wingers, and then there was 2 moderates.
Okay.
That both campaigned just like the mayor, Mayor Wu. Campaigned against spending more money on policing. So just real quick for everybody, BRIC is Boston Regional Intelligence Center, and it is a gang database that is like with the Joint Task Force with the FBI and all these federal agencies. So it's basically a big jerk off side mission team with many layers of agencies overlapping and working with one another. This is like a post 9/11 deal because they realized none of our intelligence and none of our policing were talking to each other, so this became like the idea. And
is it from like the Patriot Act style shit? Because
came out, started in 2005.
Okay.
And
but I wonder if it was only allowed because of the Patriot Act.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Surveillance, and they do it by points, so you know, you're 1 degree separated from a gang member. That's X amount of points. And then once you.
Oh, dang. I wonder if I'm on these lists.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's highly possible.
Oh, totally.
And I'll tell you why, because this is affected not just.
No, I'll tell you. No, I'm just kidding.
Black and brown people, obviously, like, it's America. Like, that's who we do first. But activists of all kinds.
Oh, of course.
Filmmakers. Some folk out east, we love Rod Weber and Lauren Pespisa. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. I apologize. They're wonderful people. They both have a long history of fighting the fash in Massachusetts. We talk about them some other time. But they've all been targeted by BRIC, essentially. And so it doesn't go after actual violent crime. Like, let's think about this. This came out in 2005. And the Boston City Marathon bomber was 2013.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Patriot Act was such bullshit. It just allowed for stuff that like doesn't even work, and it's just more surveillance. We talked about this in other episodes. So
the real kick in the nuts here, though, is there was really heartbreaking testimony from a spectrum of folk at City Council. Like, I mean a spectrum, like a fucking spectrum of people, very different people, very different reasons they were investigated or put on a list by BRIC. And you know, we have a mayor that won and multiple counselors that ran on holding police accountable and not overspending on them, and BRIC had been long discredited as an awful institution, and we hadn't funded it for 2 years, and crime didn't go up, terrorist, violent, any of that stuff. Meanwhile, like, we got the Patriot Front walking around. It's like, what the fuck is BRIC doing?
I know.
Are they off duty and marching with Patriot Front? Because there's no other explanation how you guys don't know these fuckers are doing what they're doing. And I'm not saying you arrest them, but like, at least don't be pretending to be caught off guard by these fuckers. So anyways, BRIC, bad news. It's a Joe Biden wet dream. let's get all the police in a room together. And this is exactly the case with Karen Reed and Sandra Birchmore. Like, all these cops flow in these circles, and then we're actually giving them official offices to have fucking frat parties. It's basically a frat party.
This is why I always tell people, they're like, oh, you know, the feds are probably looking into Stoughton. You know what?
They're hanging.
Go to the same bar. Families. The feds are not putting any heat on them. When the feds do get involved, it's because they have a personal vendetta against a specific cop.
Or money. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And guaranteed, where Joanne and I, and I won't speak for you, Laura, but I presume you feel the same way, we're on the list.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, my hot take is, like, this doesn't work, guys. It's like, what are we doing here? It's just like ShotSpotter. There was more opposition than four vocally, people willing to put their neck out there and say they don't want it. And yet, you know, they tell us it's for our own safety. Aaron Murphy, Ed Flynn, it's for your own safety. And it's like, I'm sorry, I grew up an American. I don't need somebody telling me what my safety means. Like, I thought that's what when we bleed the red, white, and blue, not to like pull on your patriotic heartstrings. I thought this whole thing is like, I'll decide what makes me safe. All right. But that's not
how we're
doing in practice. You know, that's why it's fucking bullshit. But so yeah, my hot take is, why are we allowing more police? I thought we were fucking quote unquote rough and tumble Americans. We don't need no daddy. Joanna, hot take. Or actually, no, guest. The guest first, of course. Laura. Sorry.
Well, this is why they're beefing up the police and the cop cities and the bricks and the letting, you know, predators in Stoughton go and like letting Ron Sullen run a department. And it's because economically we are screwed. And they know it. The ruling class knows it. And this is how they intend to deal with it. They intend to deal with us just like they're dealing with the migrants on the border. Give it another 20 years or so, maybe even shorter, and I think that they'll be doing that. What they're doing to the homeless is outrageous. Trying to, like, lots of Democrats are coming out and saying that they don't have the right to basically exist. So, and want to use policing as a solution. That includes Mayor Wu. So this is why, and this is why I think that this is just my theory, but why they're so intense with this propaganda and okay with letting like a white girl from Stoughton, even though she was marginalized after this was reported. You know, in the past, I would say maybe 10, 15 years ago, the police would have never let that slide. There would have been some accountability because the community would stay outraged over it. It would be a huge story. It would be on the news constantly. There'd be follow-ups. And they're not doing that anymore. In some of the most horrific, egregious cases, this being one of them. And the solution with the government is going to be policing. That's just my theory.
Yeah, it seems like everybody that's involved with government has a stock portfolio completely built around cages.
Yeah.
Joanna, thoughts?
My hot take. Well, I mean, if you've listened to our podcast before, you know how I feel about the Patriot Act. So I'm completely against this. I feel like shame on anyone, especially even like conservatives, for thinking surveillance is the answer. You mentioned it, Spencer, like people believe we have freedom. So especially conservatives, they love the freedom isn't free thing, just from South Park, rings in my head. I don't understand. Freedom isn't free. I just feel like, my gosh, to the white people and anyone like Mayor Wu that thinks this is the answer. I don't know how people can watch money like this be spent. And I agree, Laura, that like there's something dark with the way people even talk about or speak about homelessness. or people who are without a home or without a house.
Or addiction.
Or addiction. We should care that people are suffering. We shouldn't want to make lists of people who are connected to gang members to target. We shouldn't want to target our neighbors. Those aren't things we should be voting for. So my hot take is it's another one of these things where I'm just completely disappointed in elected officials and in the system that we have where we're willing to just literally use money for violence constantly. And I'm considered extreme for wanting the opposite. Horrifying.
Call me extreme. I don't care.
I don't care, but I'm just saying. To those who think I'm
extreme. No, I know you don't.
I'm just like, I don't know how I'm extreme, but it's but these other things aren't. Like the Sandra case, et cetera, et cetera.
I want to say, I also think it's important whenever you hold an action like that, always present a list of demands. Always present a list of demands. This is what we want.
Absolutely.
Demand to be you so that it's clear and they can't say later, oh, you know, quelled your anger. We set up problem-oriented policing and took a knee at the George Floyd protest on Young Common. That doesn't cut it. You know, people got to get with reality, and I've seen a lot of people are not lately. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, and like theatrics, like taking a knee is one thing, but then spending millions or however much money they're going to spend on the police are terrifying.
Like a lot of these liberals that did these, you know, set up these rallies, Mansfield wasn't the only one that did this. When the police chief came out and took a knee and like, you know.
I'm sure a lot of places did, yeah.
I think a lot of them, like the party itself knows what the messaging has to be, what they want their activists to do. And that's what they're doing. You know, we want to heal the community, you know.
Well, yeah, the community policing is it's being pushed as like the new way of doing things.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a really bad idea.
Oh, horrifying.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Well, everybody at home, that's the Guler and Tomfoolery. Brick, mm-hmm. brick, brick, brick. So just keep in mind, they just spent $3.4 million for people to spy. And it doesn't get results. I hate to break it to everybody. And the things they do a lot of, in my opinion, coercive stuff with, like, you know, young impressionable people on the internet posing, like catfishing, essentially. There's a case where they basically groomed this kid to like become a violent extremist and then got him on like credit card fraud. They like coordinated with him. The whole thing's a mess. And that's out of the brick thing. So it's something we need to demand. And one thing, like, I think the name of this episode, I think we should name it Shame, because like,
yeah,
shame, shame, like in the Monty Python thing, shame. Because I mean, the other options are not ideal because they're violent.
It's true. They do a really good shame walk. And for the Game of Thrones audience members too, they do like it's like real demeaning to someone who deserves shame in that too.
Bridget and I are big, make jokes at home. We are like, well, obviously this has to be done democratically, but like we're big, we would probably, certain people, exile.
Yeah. But while the shame, I mean, it is pretty demeaning. It can be really demeaning.
Like, just get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, yeah, you know, I mean,
no, the harm. I don't want anybody hungry. I don't want to like be off into the wilderness. I don't mean it like that, but, and I don't necessarily want to unleash them on another community. So again, that's why we have to do it democratically and by the community, because who did they harm? And the community has to get together and support the victims and also remind them, like, caging this person until they're dead isn't going to make you feel any better. I mean, we can remove we can remove somebody, but you know, putting him in the system that we have as prisons, it's a death sentence. So I mean, it's just a slow, destructive path. So that's why we're abolitionists, I would say. And shame can do some good stuff. So shame. Shame.
Shame.
Well, thank you very much, Laura, for jumping on with us and telling us about your action. And again, everybody, details will be on the website notes, www.theweedout.com. Follow us on the social medias, please. We love interacting with y'all and, you know, get the word out about the Weed Out. We have some fun stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks, you know, and just if anybody's still listening, go check out Joanna. What are the Lights Out Mass with Andrew and Jeff, previous guests of ours. I listened to
their new podcast. It's great. They have a new episode out too.
Yeah. I listened to an episode today about libraries and, you know, they kind of
the books.
Yeah. And
yeah,
that's a good one. I got that one. I haven't listened to it yet, but I got it in my email.
So
they're great.
They offer a really great perspective. They do the nitty-gritty data and fact-based journalism and really, you know, dot their I's and cross their T's as far as journalism go. So highly recommend checking out their show. It's on all platforms. So wherever you listen to us, you can probably find them. The Lights Out Mass.
Yeah, and it's a great duo, I think, because Andrew's an abolitionist. But Jeff was actually a conservative, and he talks about that, how some of this work is really radicalizing him when he looks at the data for the police specifically. So it's when he came on our show, he said that, because as he dives deep into some of the post stuff and just getting like information from police office, police, like from the offices, just like public records requests, he kind of said it was hard to not be shocked and want accountability. And not understand how people could get to the point of abolition. So when he was on our show and on our episode, not to put words in his mouth, but he was basically saying, like, this data is so shocking. So I think their new podcast, the two of them have such unique, interesting journalistic perspectives. Like, I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. They are good.
And I think it can't be said enough that their work ethic and their attention to detail, maybe work ethic is the wrong term, but their attention to detail and accountability and transparency, I mean, that's the whole thing. So
working with them is fantastic.
And everybody listening at home, like, they have they also have a different voice than us. So we highly recommend checking out their content and help them grow their platform. So everybody, thank you for tuning into the Weed Out. As always, keep weeding out the bullshit.
And take care.